Aloha, Tiki Files. Thanks for joining me for another episode of Marooned, a Texas Tiki podcast. I hope y'all are having a great summer. Jen and I have had a ton to keep us busy so far, including an amazing trip to the Maikai. Now, if you've listened to the past 15 episodes of Marooned, I'm sure there's been at least one reference to the Maikai in each of them, so it feels like this visit is somewhat overdue. Now, this trip and episode have been a long time coming since we began to plan our summer trip this past January, and it was then that I reached out to Jim Hurricane Hayward of the Atomic Grog about doing an episode. While the trip was still quite a ways away, we kept in touch, and Jim was awesome enough to make himself available to be our personal guide of the Maikai and guest for the episode. Jim was super cool, not only as a guest of the podcast, but just as a person. He has a wealth of knowledge on not only the drinks, but the restaurant as a whole. He gave us a personal tour of the grounds, and even set up a behind-the-scenes tour of the restaurant and bar with the current manager, Kern Matai. The following day, he introduced me to Maikai Tiki carver Will Anders and owner Dave Levy. I'm really excited to share this episode with y'all, because in addition to recording this episode with Jim, I also recorded a walking tour of the grounds and restaurant with Jim, Will, and Kern shortly before the opening of the restaurant that day. So now you'll be able to take us along with you for your next, or maybe even your first trip to the Maikai. Now part two is still in the editing process, but to hold you over, here's part one of my trip to the Maikai with Jim Hurricane Hayward. And during the recording of the episode, we each had a zombie and a deep sea diver. And since the zombie was the drink of the last episode, and y'all probably don't have all the ingredients on hand for a deep sea diver, the drink of the episode is going to be Jim's tribute to the mutiny. Never fear though, as the recipes for all the drinks can be found on the Atomic Grog. But for the mutiny, all you'll have to do is check out the show notes. Thanks again for listening, and if you like what you hear, leaving a review on Apple Podcasts is a great way to let me know. Or drop me an email at david@maroonedpodcast.com. So as always, hit pause, check out the show notes, blend up a mutiny, sit back, relax, and enjoy. Episode 16, A Marooned, a Texas Tiki Podcast. Aloha. Thank you, Jim, for meeting me here. We're in the Samoa room at the Maikai.
Kole Maluna.
Kole Maluna. So yeah, man, thank you so much. So just to give a little background with the episode, we did a walking tour that we'll be playing a little later on with Jim Hurricane Hayward of the Atomic Grog, Will Anders, one of the gentlemen who does the tikis here at the Maikai, and Kern, the manager of the Maikai, the current manager.
It was a blast. It was great to do that walking tour.
Yeah, no, I had a great time. And with three people who are as knowledgeable as you three, it was a dream come true. It's been a great experience since we've gotten here. Everybody is amazing. It really is that old school hospitality vibe. Like, everybody's just so accommodating. It's been a blast.
There's absolutely nothing like it anywhere. It's just an amazing place. And we're sitting right now quietly secluded in the Samoa room overlooking the Shrunken Skulls. Or actually, the skulls are overlooking us, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. So a little bit about you. Why Hurricane? Because of Florida? Why Hurricane
Well,
Hayward?
Yeah, that's the obvious. The drink, too. It all just played in. I was looking for a Tiki Central name. Back in the day, you had to have a Tiki Central name. And when I first joined 10 more years ago, it just made sense. I'm a journalist, and I've covered many hurricanes for the newspapers, and I was starting to get into tropical drinks, and the hurricane name just fit, and the alliteration, too, of course.
Yeah, that works. So how long have you been into tiki?
Quite a while. I guess I'm one of those guys that kind of grew up on tiki and didn't realize it until they were much older that's what it was. You know, I'm child of the mid-century, grew up in the 60s, went to tiki restaurants with my parents, went to Disney World, all those things. And then I got older and kind of moved on to more adult pleasures, or what I thought were adult pleasures, until, you know, got into my 40s and then started rediscovering all these great mid-century things and classic things. And tiki was one of them, and cocktails. It kind of dovetailed all together.
Okay. And then you run the Atomic Grog as well. So what was the what was the idea behind starting it? I don't think it was was it the Maikai recipes?
No, not really. I mean, well, that was sort of my first big thing I wanted to do is with the blog, because like I was saying about Tiki Central, that was sort of my outlet to join up and meet people and start writing. And I wasn't really interested in writing about Tiki necessarily. I was still learning, you know. But with the blog, I could kind of write as I learned, and kind of, that's the beauty of blogs. You're sort of like creating a community, and people are along for the ride with you. And exploring the Maikai cocktails was a great ride, and it's still a ride I'm still on.
So when did you move into doing that, or what prompted you to start doing that?
The blog itself, or just the cocktail portion?
The cocktail portion.
It's sort of like, that's what I'm good at, I think. I mean, I've said this before, I'm good at writing and I'm good at cocktails, so they sort of go together. But the Maikai cocktails have just blown me away from the first time I came here more than 10 years ago, and I've been through the menu multiple times, and I've had my own, you know, rating system. These are my favorites. And then around 2010, I posted that up on Tiki Central, and it became kind of popular. People were chiming in, and then the recipes started flowing around, and I started talking to Jeff Berry, and reading all of Jeff's books, of course, reveals where all the drinks came from. So I just put all that information together and kind of created what I call the Maikai Cocktail Guide. It's basically reviews, ratings, and recipes of all the drinks.
Awesome. So I know when we were talking yesterday, we hung out, had a couple of drinks. You were talking about how you'll have a drink and then you'll run home to, while the taste is still fresh in your mouth, to try and decipher it.
Right.
But how did you develop that palate? How did you determine that, or how did you realize that you were able to decipher what was in
this? I have no idea. It wasn't natural, believe me. At first, I did not want to do that. I didn't want to be the guy that deconstructs cocktails. I wanted to create my own, and I do. I do have a lot of my own. But the Maikai was such an inspiration, and it really wasn't that difficult because, like I was saying, Beachcomb Berry laid the groundwork. He revealed all of Don Beachcomber's recipes. So with Don the Beachcomber's recipes in hand, you can pretty much interpret what's in the Maikai cocktails, because they're all based on Don's recipes for the most part. There are deviations. There are ones that Mariano Liquidine, the original mixologist, took and tweaked. They're all tweaked. They're not Don's recipes. Strictly speaking, but it was kind of fascinating to me to kind of put the puzzle together. And then as far as, you know, training myself to figure out what was in them, I guess it just was with experience after drinking over and over. It's the same thing with food. You know, you can kind of train your palate to, oh, that's pimento dram or that's falernum. And, you know, I started to figure out what was in the cocktails just by repetition.
Nice. So you've been doing it for a while. I've been following it for a while myself. I mean, I make your drinks all the time at home. I think it started when I first had on the Boozy Doodler episode of the podcast. After we were done recording, we drank some Black Magics because we talked about the Maikai and how that was the mecca, how that was what tiki bars should mm-hmm. strive to be. So we did that, tried the Black Magic with him. Then I started digging deeper. I was like, I need to learn more about this because this coffee drink is insane. Yeah. The citrus with the coffee, it's such a different combination, but it works so well. So I googled Maikai Black Magic, Atomic Grog came up, and it was, my day was over at that point because I was just going through everything and pouring through all the information that was in there.
I noticed you've already had about three since you've been here, right?
Oh yeah, no, it's great. And I may have been swayed to the mutiny.
And the mutiny. Yes,
since yesterday, that mutiny was terrific. I don't know. There's just something about it. It's a little more citrusy than the Black Magic is.
I prefer the Mutiny myself, but not by much. It's shades of difference.
Yeah, exactly.
They're both great.
So what's your favorite drink on the menu?
We're drinking it. It's a Zombie.
Okay, great.
It's not the traditional Don Beach, but it's very close. Again, it's one of those reinterpretations by Mariano. And I think he took the best elements of the various Don's Zombie recipes. There's some of the original 34 Zombie, there's some of the 56, there's even some of the 1950 Zombie in there with the passion fruit. So if you're a Zombie fan, I think that the Maikai's version is right up there with the classics. And I'm a Zombie guy pretty much through and through. I'm not a Mai Tai fan per se. It's not a bad drink. I just think it's a little overrated as a cocktail.
Okay. All right. Well, blast we'll go ahead and end it here. So it was great meeting you, I guess. No, I'm just kidding. The Mai Tai is my go-to drink. 44 Mai Tai all day. But yeah, no, I can understand that. And you know what? To be honest, it's kind of refreshing not to hear somebody who's not overwhelmed or just who is not the predominant or the tiki fan who's just obsessed with the Mai Tai. That is a little refreshing.
I do like a Mai Tai, but I wouldn't put it up on a pedestal where I think it's too often. But
yeah, it's not the end all be all for you.
But for me, it's a zombie. It's just one of those things, I guess.
Well, in like you were saying, you're a fan of Pernod. You're a fan of that licorice-y
and
taste.
The rich Jamaican rum, the mint. There's just so much that I love about a zombie. And I've done riffs on it too. It's a cool drink to kind of take on a different trip. I know Martin Cate's done some variations on zombies. There's some other people who do variations on a zombie. And you don't get as much heat by doing a zombie variation. If you do a Mai Tai variation, the PC police come after you.
The tiki PC police. And you know what? To that point, yeah, I can understand that, because without the zombie, we wouldn't have the Jet Pilot, which is probably my second favorite tiki drink of all time. It's just that grapefruit and the cinnamon and the potency of all the rum that just, man, it makes it such a delicious and powerful drink.
So what's it like for you coming here and seeing all those classics on one menu?
It's pretty overwhelming, to be honest. But it is very impressive. I have thoroughly enjoyed all my experiences here to this point. It's been great. And, you know, so I had the Black Magic, had the Jet Pilot, had the Barrel of Rum, had the Mutiny, let's see, what else? I had another Jet Pilot last night during the show, and now the Zombie. So I need to stretch my wings and see what else we can get.
I think
we
should follow up with a Deep Sea Diver, because that's another classic. It's the, you know, outside of Latitude 29, you're probably not going to get an authentic Pearl Diver anywhere. And this follows that. It's, you know, it's that honey butter mix, and it's done to perfection here. They serve it in the Beach Bum Berry glass, which he brought back based on the Mai Tai glass.
I'm game. Well, we're almost at happy hour, so I say we go take a break. Let's go get one.
Okay.
And we'll bring it back.
Perfect.
All right, we'll be right back. Aloha, and we are back with our Deep Sea Divers. If you're unfamiliar, of course, happy hour is from 5 to 7, half-price drinks. I had to sneak one last one in there. And as we were talking in the Molokai, these glasses, you said they're based off the Mai Tai glasses. These are the Beach Bum Berry glasses?
Well, they were actually Don the Beachcomber originated the drink, obviously. It was the Pearl Diver and these glasses, but I guess they've never been seen in the wild, or at least Jeff never saw them in all his travels and thrift stores and whatnot. So he had them reproduced as close as he could come to the specs. But they were used at the Mai Tai at some point. If you look at the old menus and the old photos. I love those old photos of the old Mai Tai drinks.
Yeah.
They still look the same. That's the amazing part of it.
And that's all covered in the book, I take it, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, which is also available in the gift shop and Amazon, Swanky's book.
And I also highly recommend the New Sip and Safari, and read the final chapter on the Mai Tai.
Yes, which is a great chapter as well. That was one of the things I did in preparation of coming to the Mai Tai is, you know, coming to a place with this much prestige and with this much history, want to start looking into it, reading more about it, and it's an impressive place.
I glean a lot of my history of the drinks from Jeff's books and from Swanky, so I owe those two guys a big tip of the hat, obviously. Then there's my tribute recipes, which sort of took on a life of their own. That's something I wasn't really planning on. I was okay with doing the what I call ancestor recipes. For instance, I would post the Pearl Diver and say, this is what the Deep Sea Diver is based on, and here's my review, and I left it at that. Then as years went by and I had more and more of the drinks and I started seeing other people attempting the recipes and doing it badly, I thought, wait a minute, that doesn't taste right, and I would try to recreate the drinks on my own. And little by little, I think the first one I really nailed was the Mai Tai Special, because nobody had ever attempted that. That's not a Don drink. That's one of the few that... besides, you know, there's the Black Magic and there's a few others. When I nailed that one, I thought, well, maybe I can give it a try and try to come closer to the original flavors. I'm trying not to decode the drinks per se. It's just come close to the flavor profile that you can, so you can make the drink at home and say, hey, that tastes like the Mai Kai. It kind of just brings you back.
Nice.
And that led me down multiple rabbit holes into the rums, into the syrups, into the juices. Those are the three basic things that are just unique to the Mai Kai, and they each have their own story and are each equally fascinating to tiki cocktail geeks.
Yeah, and to the rum, we've discussed, and you've discussed, I'm sure, ad nauseum on your blog, the long-lost Kahala Bay.
Right, of course, Kahala Bay, the Holy Grail. It's not so much a Holy Grail. I don't know what you would call it. It's still around if you can find it. It's just, it's only been off the market for a couple of years.
Okay.
So in rum years, that's not a lot. So there's hope that it comes back. There's hope that it's floating around somewhere in Jamaica and someone's going to put two and two together and figure out how to import it again.
Well, and as I mentioned on the last episode with Tony Canepa, or one of the last episodes, there was that discovery. Somebody hit gold and found 12 bottles of Kahala Bay.
Oh, yeah. The mother load, yeah.
I can't even... I mean, what do you do when you see all that? I mean, you do exactly what that guy did and buy all the bottles that are there. But, so I guess they had been using Kahala Bay since, what, the 90s? Is what I was reading?
Right. I think it replaced Dagger probably in the 90s.
Okay.
As best we can come up with.
Okay.
And Dagger is very similar rum. It's they're both from Ray and Nephew. So we're talking about this, you know, great, funky, little bit overproof, like 87 proof dark Jamaican rum that just works perfect in these cocktails. And again, this goes all the way back to Don the Beachcomber. This is his template. You know, it's the dark Jamaican playing alongside the overproof Demerara, and then you've got your light and gold Spanish style rum all in the same drink, creating this rum profile that's just amazing. And it's done here to great effect. It's traditional because the recipes haven't changed, because they haven't really been touched since Mariano retired in 1979. You're getting this really cool time capsule. I mean, they've been tweaked here and there, and there's a few new drinks added, but more or less you're tasting these vintage drinks here.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that was going to be my next question, but I guess since they switched over to the Kahala Bay in the 90s, you never tried it with the Dagger.
I've never had Dagger, and I'm just kicking myself for not coming in here prior to when I did start coming here, because I probably would have had it back in the day. But it's one of those things, you know, someone built me a time machine.
Yeah, hindsight's 20/20 as always. But Kahala Bay, I mean, I try and do my best to describe what I've read about it. But having never tried it, I can't give the full effect. So how would you describe it? I mean, obviously, there's nothing on the market that is comparable. The closest they're using is the Appleton.
It's actually not a great sipping rum. It's not a sipping rum at all.
It's a great mixer.
It's a mixing rum.
Yeah.
And it's kind of unique in that regard. I mean, there's a lot of good Jamaican rums on the market. And there's, you know, you've got your Hamilton, you've got your Dr. Bird, and all these rums coming up that tastes great, but then you put them in a cocktail and it kind of ruins the whole, not ruins it, but it dominates. Kahala Bay is just part of the cocktail. It plays a secondary role, but it's great, especially when you mix it with a 151. It's hard to describe. It's sort of like a, I don't know, right now they use Appleton. They're using one of the Appleton Estate rums. They were using Reserve, now they're using Signature. It's in that same vein, just quite a bit funkier, because it's coming out of it's a Ray and Nephew rum. So it's in that same wheelhouse. It's just more of a raw, funky flavor.
Okay.
And, you know, oddly enough, the rums are, with the exception of Kahala Bay, the rums aren't the most important thing. That's what, another thing that makes these Mai Kai cocktails timeless. You can switch out rums and they're surviving. No one's, you know, the drinks are still great without Kahala Bay, just as they were great without 151 Demerara. There was a time period not too long ago before Lemon Heart was widely available, before Hamilton. They were using Bacardi 151 in all their drinks. That's when I first came here. That's when Jeff and Sven and everybody else first came here and was wowed by the drinks. Looking back on it, I'm thinking, we were wowed by Bacardi 151, but we really didn't have anything to go by. We didn't understand. And these drinks aren't really dependent upon the rum to be spectacular. It's the juices, it's the syrups, and the rums all in harmony. And I think that's the way they were designed. They weren't really designed to to just depend on that one rum. And if that one rum is gone, they're in trouble, you know. So,
well, and as we also discussed, when you look at the juices that are being used, they're using juices that are native to Florida. They're using key limes instead of,
that's the consistent,
say a Persian lime, things like that. So, I mean, that definitely also plays a factor. As you had mentioned the other day when we were talking, that these drinks may be just slightly sweeter because the key lime is sweeter than the other types.
And the orange juice is one thing you really notice. I'm noticing it right now in the Deep Sea Diver, even though I drink this juice all the time, that Florida fresh, pulpy orange juice is just a really bright, aggressive flavor. But it works perfectly when you've got these rums and these syrups. It's just a cacophony of flavors that are in perfect harmony, which is what I like about the Maikai drinks.
Yeah. No, they've all been spectacular. All the ones that I've had to this point have all been great. So it's, it's mind-blowing to finally be here after seeing all these posts, seeing everything about Hooky Lao, reading your blog, seeing Instagram pictures. And I swear to you, in each of the last 15 episodes, somebody has brought up Maikai and how that is the mecca. So to finally be here, it's like a year's worth of work on the podcast culminates in a trip to the Maikai.
And it's more than a bar, which is, I guess, it's hard to...
It's an experience.
Right, exactly. To people that don't really know when they come here, it's just another tiki bar. No, it's not just another tiki bar.
Not even remotely.
There's a lot
close.
More to it. The drinks are just part of the experience. And having them here, sitting here, having them in this atmosphere makes them all that much better. And I think Martin Cates says it best. It's like a tiki drink is meant to be experienced in a tiki environment. It's not to be experienced elsewhere, you know.
Well, I'm glad you bring up that it's not just a tiki bar, because last night at dinner, we're ordering drinks, and these very lovely people who are sitting at the table next to us start asking about, you know, how we found the place, things like that, just chit-chat. And we're telling them, you know, we travel all over to tiki bars. This is what we do. We plan our vacations around where there's a great tiki bar. And so they're asking, well, where does this rank in tiki bars? I'm like, this doesn't rank in tiki bars, because this is a tiki experience. This is not a tiki bar. Like, and to somebody who doesn't know anything about this, they just came because they saw a Groupon for a good deal and decided to come check out the show and have dinner. And after the show, they're like, well, what tiki bars have the best food? Well, tiki bars don't normally have food. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, how does that show compare to other tiki bars? Well, other tiki bars don't have shows. Like,
How old were they? I'm just curious.
Oh, they're older women.
Okay.
Yeah. It was two older women, moms with their daughters, the daughters were probably closer to our age and not very interested in this place at all. So it was just amusing to me that they're asking, well, how does this rank to other tiki bars? Nothing is like this. No tiki bar is like this, because this is not a tiki bar. This is a tiki experience.
I'm sure you could point to some Trader Vic's around the world that are on the same level as far as the all-encompassing experience. But it was fine dining. When this, it still is fine dining to a certain point. It's not, you know, your white tablecloth, although we are sitting at a table with a white tablecloth.
With a white tablecloth.
It's not considered that anymore by the mainstream. But in its heyday, you know, tiki was white tablecloth at fancy restaurants.
Well, restaurants don't do dinner in a show anymore. I'm sure in the 50s and 60s, that was a whole thing. It was the experience of going out to dinner. Because in that era, you weren't going out to dinner unless it was a special occasion. And for this to be happening every night, it really is like slipping into a time warp. You're not in 2018 anymore when you step into the Maikai. Because there's no themed restaurants anymore. That's gone away for a long time.
Right. Unless you go to Disneyland or Disney World or a theme park for the same kind of experience.
Hell, for all intents and purposes, you could consider this a tiki theme park.
It is.
There's no rides, but, you know, it's to the level of seeing someone like that. There's just the amount of things that there are to see in here. The shrunken heads, all the tikis, all the carvings. I mean, every post in this Samoa room is a carving. Like, there's nothing to this level of authenticity anymore. And it's amazing that this place has lasted so long when you consider the great places that were around.
Mm-hmm.
The original Don the Beachcomber, the original Trader Vic's, the Luau in Hollywood, Steve Crane's place. Places that, at that time, I'm sure, were the West Coast rival to the Maikai. But those places were all torn down or converted into something else.
If I'm not mistaken, the only two older are the Contiki in Arizona and the Tongariro, I believe, right?
Yes. Tongariro, when we went, the drinks were... They were nothing to write home about. We had one drink and left because we were unimpressed.
That's not why you go to the Tongariro.
Yeah,
it's the history. It's the...
It was a cool
the
place.
The coolness factor.
Yeah. Contiki in Arizona, we went there a month or two ago. Same thing. Drinks mm-hmm. aren't going to wow you, but the place looked legit. So it's worth to see it just for to experience the environment.
Right. And I'm sure those places have gone through so many changes in management and ownership over the years. The Maikai is a freak of nature in the fact that it's still the same family. It's the, you know, it's the stepson of the original owner running the place exactly as his stepfather would have. And the recipes for the drinks are coming out of the little secret black book from the original mixologist who worked for Don Beach in the 1930s. It's ridiculous how they follow these traditions, and that's why it is what it is, basically. I give Dave Levy all the credit in the world for not changing things. He could have done many, many things over the years. That, oh, just the newest trend, let's change this, let's do this. He stuck to his guns just like his stepfather did, and look where we are.
Yeah. And that's why I say it's amazing that this place has lasted this long, because it has stayed in the family. The family realizes what it is. They know what it is. They know that this is one of the last meccas in the world for tiki. So,
and it runs well.
It's a
well-oiled machine. They know what they're doing. Exactly. You got a chance to see the back bar last night. How was that?
It was same thing. It was a very well-oiled machine. The manager, Kern, he took us back there, gave us a tour of the kitchens, of the back bar, and you know, everybody's just, they know what they're doing. Everybody has their role. They have their station that they're working in front of.
And just to make clear for people who don't understand or have never been here, by back bar we mean the bar. There are no bars
yes.
per se. When you walk into the Maikai, you don't
yes.
see a bar. You don't see bottles of booze anywhere.
Exactly.
There's a huge back bar behind the kitchen that basically services about 400 seats dining room, or 550 on a busy night. That's the main bar. And then there's a secondary bar that's in the Molokai bar that's also hidden behind closed doors. So you're never seeing anybody mixing any drinks anywhere. It's just so awesome, that
yes.
that tradition that goes back to Don Beach.
Exactly.
They want to keep everything secret.
Well, and Jen was asking that last night. She's like, so why don't you see them? I'm like, that's how Don did it. And that was the trade secret. You don't want to have your mixologist making drinks in front of your audience because... You know, they're going to see what's going into these. And especially in that era, in that time, when tiki was taking over the world and everybody had a zombie on their menu, regardless of whether or not they knew what was mm-hmm. in it, they were making a zombie. So it goes back to that trade secret that the syrups aren't labeled with what they are. Mm-hmm. They're labeled with a number, 1 through 7, 1 through 9, whatever, that X drink has a half ounce of number 3 and has... a quarter ounce of number 4. It harkens back to that original tiki mm-hmm. bar experience, and it's really cool to see that.
And believe it or not, they actually still do that here. The bartenders do not know what's in those bottles. There's unmarked bottles back there with numbers on them, which I find fascinating. There's absolutely nobody that does that anymore. I mean, the Tiki Tea still uses their secret recipes. However, being a family-run establishment, I'm sure... they all know what they are. They don't have any outside bartenders like the Maikai does to that extent, where they're bringing in guys off the street to work, so these guys just don't really know what the recipes are.
Well, Tiki T does have Greg now, which
right.
is why they can't have smoking in there anymore.
But he's part of the... I consider him part of the family.
Yeah, but even then, who knows if he knows what's
he
in
He might
the
not
syrups.
Even know.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my point, is that Mike and Mike are really the only ones who know.
Right.
Mike and Mike Jr., they're the only ones who probably know what the actual syrups that go on a Ray's Mistake are.
It's the same here. There are two syrups that they started using again, and this I've started to write about on the blog. I need to elaborate a little bit more on it. There's something called number 4 and something called number 7, and they're in a handful of drinks. There's, I think there's 4 or 5 drinks with number 4 in it and a couple with number 7, and there's one drink that has both syrups in it. And... they just reappeared 3 or 4 years ago. I was talking to the owner, and he goes, oh, yeah, we're using the old syrups again. I go, what? What old syrups? This is the stuff they just spring on me, you know, out of the blue. And I come to find out it's based on the old syrups that Don Beach had and Mariano used here. and Mariano's long gone and there's no recipe. So they brought in a bartender who used to work for Mariano, who remembers what they taste like. So they've kind of reverse engineered their own syrups, and they're being made. And he comes in once a week, twice a week. I think he makes the honey butter mix for this deep sea diver as well.
Okay.
But he's an old retired bartender who just comes in to basically make the secret mixes. And he's the only one that knows, he and the owner, the only two people that, I don't even know if Kern knows what's in the secret mixes. That's how secret these mixes are.
So I guess that brings up a great point. So you're involved with the bar. They know who you are. Right. You're familiar with the owner, with the manager. They know you. So how cooperative are they in your tribute recipes?
Man. They're so cool. I'm flattered when they like welcome me and into their establishment, and they don't tell me everything. Obviously, they're so smooth with the way they handle things. And Kern especially, he'll give me little hints, and that's what makes the blog interesting. He'll drop me a little hint. Maybe sometimes he'll throw me off the track. I don't know. There was the big cinnamon syrup thing where for years I was posting recipes with cinnamon syrup, and that's because, you know, if you look at Don's recipes, there's cinnamon syrup and everything. And Jeff revealed that in The Zombie. Come to find out, the Maikai has never used cinnamon syrup, as far as I know.
Interesting.
And I asked Kern one day, you know, so how do you make your cinnamon syrup? Do you make it in-house? And he goes, no, we don't use cinnamon syrup.
We don't make it.
So basically, I had to go back and redo a dozen or more recipes. Actually, there's probably a few recipes I still haven't posted that have to be redone because they taste just fine. They taste great with cinnamon syrup. I'm just trying to be
too accurate,
I guess.
Yeah.
But that's what people love about my tribute recipes, I guess, is sometimes, you know, they take liberties with the ingredients, but they still taste great. You know, that's all that matters to me. I'm not, like I said, I'm not trying to duplicate or decode the recipes. And I'm flattered when, you know, bars like Hidden Harbor use my recipes or other places around the country.
Yeah, I've seen that. They've been doing their Black Magic tribute as well. So, I mean, that's what's so awesome about it is that you started this just wanting to share the recipes, I guess, and people are taking the ball with it and running, and that's awesome.
I had no idea where it would go. And also the flattering thing too is when I see on Tiki Central every day, I go, not every day, but I try to go on Tiki Central as much as I can. I'm old school. I mean, I know it's going the way of the dinosaur, but there's people on Tiki Central from all over the world posting their photos of drinks, and I love to see people post. Oh, there's someone in England posting a photo of a Black Magic tribute, you know, and they give me credit, and you know that's so cool and flattering.
Yeah, now I'm gonna have to look up that Mutiny tribute and start making that when I get home.
Well, I'll email it to you because that's one of the ones I think still has cinnamon in it. I have to change it, or maybe no, that's the one that has to be changed to add the secret mix.
Okay, cool. Well, I'll be looking for that. Do you have a Hukulau tribute? Because the Hukulau is terrific as well.
Yes, and that's another one. Probably by the time this podcast comes out, I'll have it updated. So
okay.
I'll make it a point to do that.
Cool. So you also work with the Hukulau. You help organize that as well?
Oh, yeah. Let's see. I think this was my 10th Hukulau. It's been a long, strange trip. The Hukulau is a great event. It sort of opened my eyes to the tiki world more than anything. I mean, the Maikai is the Maikai, but the Maikai exists in its own world, I guess you could say. It's not really dependent upon the tiki scene. The tiki scene is more dependent upon the Maikai in reality. But when I discovered the Hukulau, that's when I really got to know, you know, people like Jeff and Martin, and everybody comes to the Hukulau. It's just a great event. We have great cocktails, great symposiums, great music. I would definitely recommend it on anybody's bucket list.
So speaking of great symposiums, you did a mixing like the Maikai symposium.
Oh, yeah, my first symposium this year. It was a trip. It was how to mix like the Maikai. Some of the stuff we've been talking about went into that symposium. I was talking about the juices and the syrups, and it was a lot of fun. I guess everything just leads to something else, and that's one of those things. Last year I did a Hukulau presentation on stage here at the Maikai, which was a thrill to talk about the menus, and I went through the whole history of the cocktail menus. But just to do an actual cocktail class and a demo where people actually paid extra to come see me, that was a lot of pressure, but I think I pulled it off.
The pictures look great. It looked like everybody was having
a
good time.
It sold out, so yeah, mahalo to everybody who came.
So give us a little more information, because I know you had tables set up, and I guess the table, each table would make a drink.
Oh, yeah. I went through the lesson, pretty much kind of went on a whole spiel about how the drinks are made here and how the juices and syrups and rums all work in harmony, and explain all the different ingredients and how, you know, there's certain things like Angostura and Pernod, for example. That was Don's secret weapon, and it's the Maikai's secret weapon. There's so many recipes that have Angostura and Pernod in it, and just basically breaking down all the elements. And then we gave the class an assignment, you know, make your own drink. We were kind of running quick on time at the very end, so we kind of rushed it. But one of the tables, well, they all came up with good drinks, but the winning table was given some prizes, and it was a lot of fun. It was an interactive experience. I hope everyone takes home some tips and had a good time.
So were they making original drinks, or were they making
Maikai drinks? Yeah, it was basically what was on their table, which we had sponsors for the event. So we had Lemon Heart Rum, and we had Plantation had the Jamaican rum. So I tried to provide them with everything. They had some bitters, they had some Pernod, they had the juices. I brought the authentic juices. That's one of the rabbit holes I went down, like I was talking about. I found a local orange grove that sells the key lime juice that I believe is pretty much similar to the Maikai's key lime juice. And then there's a specific kind of orange juice they use. And so I provided all the juices. So, you know, I've posted about this on my blog, and I'm, you know, encouraging people, if they really want to taste that Maikai drink, you're not going to do it with a California orange or a Persian lime. You have to even get down to that detail to get that exact flavor. However, I mean, I don't want to be too geeky about it. You can use any kind of fresh juice, and you're not going to go wrong. It's still going to be a great cocktail.
But will it be 100% authentic to the Maikai? No, probably not.
You need those Florida juices to really make it sing.
Well, that's cool. So what's next for Hukilau and for the blog and everything? What do you have in the works besides updating your recipes?
Well, let's see. Hukilau, I'm not quite so sure. It's obvious. I know it's coming back. I think it's the 7th through the 11th of June next year.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken. So we're back at Pier 66. We're back at the Maikai. So set aside those dates and start making your plans. We're going to have same usual event that we've always had, I'm sure. Bartenders coming from around the country. We've had Three Dots and a Dash and many, many other bars. Pagan Idol's been coming. A lot of bars from the West Coast. Tonga Hut was there this year. I mean, we're shooting to have, you know, just as big a Hukilau next year. I might do another class. I'm toying with the idea of revamping and making it bigger and better. So look for that. The music is always outstanding. Low Straitjackets played actually in the Tahiti room. I was going to point that out to you before.
Okay.
I know you're a surf music guy.
Yeah.
Obviously through and through. So coming to the Maikai during Hukilau is an experience. You're experiencing it now in its, you know, natural state. I hear a mystery drink.
And that's, right. Yeah, oh, here, I see it right there.
Perfect. We can see the mystery drink being served through the window into the Hawaii dining room.
And that was my whole thing, like I told you. I wanted to experience the Maikai without the Hukilau. Mm-hmm. I want to come to the Hukilau, but I want to do it without all the crowds and all the rush of
But this is natural. And that's to sit here and just enjoy the surroundings and have someone order a mystery drink next to you. It's just sort of what makes the Maikai special. The Hukilau is just, it's the same, but it's turned up to 11. It's sort of, there's a lot going on. There'll be four or five mystery drinks going on simultaneously. And the Low Straitjackets will be playing like in the Tahiti room. But so temper your expectations. If you're coming for that kind of an event, that's the perfect place. But maybe set aside a few days to experience the Maikai in its, you know, I wouldn't say quiet state, because it's never quiet here.
No.
There's always something going on, but you can experience the Maikai in different ways. So as far as the blog goes, I've got a lot of things in the planning stages, and nothing I can really talk about, but I'm always trying to enhance it. I'm always trying to look at ways to write better, more informative stories. I'm working on the cocktail blog. The Maikai Cocktail Guide is going to be updated and enhanced. I've got a lot of recipes. There's going to be a major, I wouldn't say major, but a significant change in the ratings. You mentioned Kahala Bay. There's some drinks I'm going to have to lower in the ratings and some others that are coming up higher in the ratings. So I haven't done that kind of a major update in quite a while. So there's all that stuff for the Maikai cocktail geeks too.
Well, and back to the Kahala Bay, I know you do. You have a top five of your favorites, substitutes.
Mm-hmm.
I know the number one is 50% Smith & Cross, 50% El Dorado. So are you, you're just constantly trying Jamaican rums, I take it, trying to find what's going to...
Yeah, and they seem to come across my desk recently more often. For a while, there wasn't much, but now it seems like there's a new Jamaican rum coming out every other day.
And
there's a new plantation,
plantation
that I have to check
Maca,
out.
Yeah, I'm eagerly awaiting that. I heard per our distributors in Texas that it will be hitting Texas in August. I was trying to decide whether or not I wanted to see. Maybe, you never know, maybe some have creeped up in Florida, but I haven't gotten the chance to.
I think I saw something about their launch party being in London, so it's probably going to launch there first before the States. But we'll, I'm sure it'll be here shortly.
Yeah. So I know that one, they're labeling that a special dry Jamaican rum.
Right.
Do you think that's going to have any of the quality of Kahala Bay? Would you have called Kahala Bay a dry?
No, I don't know what. I'm not so sure. Alexander Gabriel was here at the Hukilau, and it was awesome to meet him. He was at the Maikai on the last day of the Hukilau, and I had the rare opportunity to accompany him back to the back bar. It was amazing. He was given the tour by Kern, that you probably the same tour you got, but of course Alexander Gabriel, he's getting a VIP tour.
Exactly.
And he spotted some old Barbados rums on that top shelf of all the old rums that have been up there for 50 years. And Kern brought down a couple old bottles of Barbados rums. I've posted some of these photos. And I got a taste of one of these old Barbados rums, best Barbados rum I've ever tasted. And it's been sitting on the shelf for 50 years at the Maikai.
That's crazy.
It was amazing.
I would just love to go and not even taste them, just index them all, see what they have, like go through and like organize them, because I'm sure they've got an insane amount of rare things that you can't find anymore.
And then we had the conversation with Alexander, and we said, you know, we need a replacement for Kahala Bay. So he said, well, give it a shot. He doesn't know if it's really going to be the replacement, but it's fun trying.
Well, see, and I may be mistaken, but I think when they were working on OFTD, I think that may have been one of the ones that they took.
Yes, it was.
To Alexander.
Jeff Berry brought it with
him. Okay.
Yes.
Yes, he took him Kahala Bay to, you know, let's make something similar to this. And OFTD wasn't anything like Kahala Bay.
It's kind of, I guess you could say it's Kahala Bay on steroids. It's sort of like Kahala Bay and Demerara 151. You know, kind of meshed together with that Barbados in there just to smooth it out. I mean, it's a great rum. And I kind of like to think, you know, what would Don Beach have done with this rum? What would Mariano Liquidini have done with this rum? So I'm definitely playing around with it. It's something that's always in my back bar. It doesn't work exactly for either of those. But I've heard people using it, you know, in a zombie as a replacement for both the 151 and the Jamaican. So you just use the OFTD as a catch-all, you know, rum that you can serve dual purposes.
All right. Well, I guess they're playing us off now.
The drums are telling us to...
Yes, the natives are telling us that it is time to go ahead and wind down. So, Jim, thank you so much. It's been great getting to meet you, hang out with you the last couple days. Yeah, man, we've got to do this again. I will definitely be back, whether it's Hukilau or just coming back to Fort Lauderdale to come to Maikai, because this place has it all.
Mahalo. It was a pleasure having you. I mean, good luck in Texas. Good luck to all the Texas Tiki folks.
Thanks. So you want to give out the addresses for
Of course.
Blog,
AtomicGrog.com is pretty much the one-stop place. I link off there to my Facebook page. There's Facebook groups. I'm woefully behind on things like Instagram and Twitter, but they're coming
on Instagram.
I've got a stake in the ground. There's just nothing there yet. So
Twitter's old news.
Yeah.
Get on Instagram and you'll be fine. So yeah, if you'd like to keep up to date with the podcast, join the Maroon Facebook group. Just search Maroon Podcast. You'll see that. If you want to keep up to date, see all the pictures that I've been taking, what we've been doing in Fort Lauderdale, you can follow me on Instagram at David Fantomatic. Do you have your Instagram handle yet?
I believe it's The Atomic Grog.
Okay, so at The Atomic Grog for Jim Hayward. Again, thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of Maroon, a Texas Tiki podcast. And until next time, Bacoli Maluna, y'all.
Bacoli Maluna.